Our song. The Jazzy Score will have you singing along and leave you wanting more. Now playing through June 29th. For tickets, stages, stlewis.org.
Monday on TNT, the Major Crimes Unit is back for a new season of Cases, Crimes, and Convictions. All new episodes of Major Crimes begin Monday night at 8 on TNT Drama.
This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. This portion of the show brought to you by Auric, all over the St. Louis area, all locally owned and operated. And in every one of them, you can walk in and try out the new Auric Magnesium RS Vacuum Cleaner. That's O-R-E-C-K for Auric. I am Paul Harris, Ian and Dan are here with me. And Colin has come down from the newsroom to talk a little bit about the movies for this week, which are rolling into theaters today. And I think the headline for these movies could be one is about crying and one is about dying.
Hey, there you go.
I haven't seen either of these
That's
movies.
That's clever right there.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And it rhymes.
So the movies we have are Edge of Tomorrow, the new one from Tom Cruise.
Yes.
And The Fault in Our Stars.
You got
with,
it.
With young starlet Shailene Woodley.
Yes.
The Jennifer Lawrence wannabe, I call her.
Yes, because she was in Divergent, and so, yeah. The other post-apocalyptic teen fiction.
Yeah. So I first noticed her in The Descendants, the movie with George Clooney that not enough people saw.
No. Yeah, you need to go see that. She's good in it, but that's a really good movie that no one saw.
So which one are you going to start with today?
We're going to start with The Fault in Our Stars.
Okay.
Let's cry before we die, I guess.
Okay.
So you've probably heard, you're going to cry. If you haven't read the book, you're going to cry because the plot is the love story of two teens who have cancer. Terminal cancer.
So it's a feel-good movie.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, so let's break this down in half. The first half is really getting to know our characters. Our main character, Shailene Woodley, plays a 16-year-old girl who has terminal lung cancer. She has to carry an oxygen tank everywhere with her, and her mother wants her to go to support groups mm-hmm. for cancer. She doesn't quite understand that. She doesn't like them. So she goes to one, and that's where she meets a young heartthrob by the name of Gus.
Mm-hmm.
And,
as most of them are. Most heartthrobs you today
yes,
named Gus.
Yes. Yeah. Who lost a leg to bone cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they start sort of courting one another, or Gus more courts her. But mm-hmm. so the romance. And that's what the first half is really about. You get to know the characters well. You sort of understand a bit more about them.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about literature. But actually, sort of when they meet, I'll play you this so you can understand when they first meet outside of support group.
What's your name?
Hazel.
And what's your full name?
Hazel Grace Lancaster. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because you're beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Let's go watch a movie.
What?
Hmm?
Huh? I'm free later this week.
No, I mean now.
You could be an axe murderer.
There's always that possibility.
And so that's the idea. That scene, the reason I pulled that one is because it sort of illustrates my main problem with this. The movie can be a little schizophrenic at times. That starts off, and it's really cute. It's two teens sort of meeting for the first time. They both think one another's cute. And then it gets into this sort of like Juno speak. You know, it's just too pithy and intelligent for a 16-year-old, 18-year-old. No one talks like that.
Well, let me just point out that the 16-year-old girl is not being that clever right in that clip there, because if he's an axe murderer today when you go to the movie, he's going to be an axe murderer 3 days from now, later yes. in the week when you go to the movie.
Yeah.
That's not really an argument for why you wouldn't go out with him.
No.
Particularly today.
No.
It's either you're going to go out with him or you're not. Not, well, I'll see you in a few days. Maybe he has to Google him. I wasn't thinking.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to have to run an online background check on you before we decide if we're going to go see a movie together. Maybe I was wrong. I apologize.
And that's the problem, though. It's as believable as it should be. She's very honest about her cancer, and that's good in the character. They're all sort of very honest about their cancers, and that's refreshing to see, where they're not necessarily playing a victim. But the problem is, the second half of that is when they finally fall in love, let's say. They've been courting, now they fall in love, and it seems, you know it's doomed. The entire time you're watching this, you're like, the other shoe is going to drop at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're sort of falling into the story with them, but there's these really jarring moments, and one of them is the first time they kiss. And I'm not ruining anything here. They are in Amsterdam, and they hike up into Anne Frank's house,
mm-hmm.
And they go all the way into the attic, and that is where they decide to kiss for the first time.
You were making out during Schindler's List?
Clearly not from that, but it's just very jarring because they're in Anne Frank's house, and...
So I see the movie is getting lighter. First we start with cancer, and then later we bring in the Holocaust.
Exactly. There you go.
Excellent.
So,
okay.
So
I love wacky comedies.
Just really an odd choice, I thought, to show that and to have it be there, both in the book and in the movie. But here's my largest issue with this. I don't understand the target audience. You could not take a date to this because your date would hate you because she would be crying so hard her makeup would be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't, oh, I'm going to cry once or twice. This is... When I went to this movie, I had the pleasure of sitting next to, in a sold-out theater, six 15-year-old girls.
Mm-hmm.
They brought a box of Kleenex with them.
Mm, good thinking.
It was gone three-quarters of the way through the movie,
mm-hmm.
and they were audibly sobbing. It's one of the most uncomfortable situations. But so that's, I guess, who's supposed to see it, teenage girls. This is a movie you should watch in, like, your sweatpants because you're going to get out of there and not be happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a downer movie. You're not going to be depressed, but... You're going to cry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say this. I've cried at movies. I'm not ashamed to admit that. I didn't cry at this one because it just was inconsistent.
Did it seem like it was purposely manipulating your emotions?
There was a sense of that.
I've seen movies where there are spontaneous things that happen on the screen that definitely move me emotionally. But if I can tell that you're trying to manipulate me to get to this point, then that's a bad movie to me.
You feel like that sometimes, but then... When it starts out and she says, I have terminal cancer,
mm-hmm.
you know that it's not like, oh, it's cured.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So they sort of get that out early on. You know that the characters you're coming to love,
mm-hmm.
some all may they're, not be there.
They're not all going to see the end credits.
No.
Okay.
They're not going to last a full 2 hours. However, I will say this. I saw this movie on Tuesday night. Every day I have woken up, I've had a different thought on this movie. I can't pin it down. I can't say I hated it. I loved it. So I give it a 7 out of 10. It's a solid movie. Go see it. It's a good movie. But if you don't want to cry in front of people,
mm-hmm.
do not go see this movie in theaters.
Okay.
Do not go see this.
All right. Now, what about the other one, Edge of Tomorrow? And by the way, if I were making a movie about teenagers with cancer, I would call that movie Edge of Tomorrow.
There you go.
And I would call the science fiction movie about aliens The Fault in Our Stars.
There you go. And
what do I know? I don't know anything about marketing.
So here's the deal. Edge of Tomorrow stars Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt as soldiers in the not-too-distant future
mm-hmm.
that are having to fight the alien scourge. The aliens in this are known as...
I hate the alien scourge.
Yes.
They're known as the
Mimics.
Make
a note. We have to do something about the alien scourge.
Right. Alien scourge.
He's writing it down.
Good.
PDF. Hologram.
So
the callbacks are always the best.
Big science fiction movie. They have to fight these aliens known as Mimics.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise is actually a PR guy, and it lays out at the beginning, he's trying to rally support for this.
Finally, somebody's putting a stop to the scourge of Frank Caliendo.
Yes.
Not those kind of Mimics?
Not those kind of Mimics, sadly. No. So he's trying to rally support for this, to fight these aliens. They essentially take over Europe, and that's where we enter. They've taken over Europe. Humans are not doing well. Tom Cruise is rallying support, and they come up with this idea for this mechanized suit
mm-hmm.
that makes people great fighters. And the first time they roll it out is in France, and Emily Blunt is the hero. She mm-hmm. kills hundreds of the Mimics, and they win.
I saw an interview with her a couple of nights ago. She talks about this suit that they had to wear, and she said when we would put it on the set, the suit would be hanging on an A-frame that would support it, and then I would go over, and they would strap me into it and lock me, my arms and my back and around my chest and all around me, and I would put it on. They'd make it as snug as they possibly could. And then they would say, how does that feel? And she would say, that feels great. No problem. And then they would lift me and the suit off of the A-frame and then put me back down on the ground. And now I'm carrying an 85-pound suit on my back. And she weighs, what, 100?
86 pounds?
Maybe.
Yeah. She's not a big woman. So that's what happens. Tom Cruise upsets someone. They say, we're busting you back down to private. We're dropping you on the front lines of this war. So He goes out there. He gets dropped into the battle. It starts off poorly. And within a few minutes, he's dead. And when he dies, he wakes back up at sort of the beginning of his day when he'd been demoted.
What?
He wakes back up on the edge of tomorrow.
Wait a minute. Is this Groundhog Day versus the aliens?
That's a good way to think about it. Groundhog Day, Run Lola Run, all of these stories kind of give you, if you look at those, it's a good mashup. But yeah, the idea
is... So is the whole movie, he keeps getting into adventures and he loses and dies and now he starts the adventure again. Does he retain the knowledge from the previous adventure?
Exactly. He knows that it's happening. It turns out, actually, he runs into Emily Blunt on his first day. He sees her die and then he's killed not that long ago, but he blows up one of these aliens and the blood gets all over him. And that's when he wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
And so... The next day, he sees Emily Blunt again. Everything's sort of happening the same way. And he eventually comes to realize, Emily Blunt says, come find me. I will train you. And the training scene's actually pretty good there.
Stop. Wait. Stop. Wait a second. Wait a second. Because I've been thinking. I mean, this thing's in my blood. So maybe there's some way I can transfer it to you.
I've tried everything. It doesn't work.
I mean, have you tried all the options?
Oh, you mean sex? Yeah, tried it.
How many times?
All right.
And then she turns the thing back on and it knocks him
across the thing. She had the same power previously, and that's why she was so good. You come to find that out. She had the same power, and these beings have the ability to... reset the day so they can always beat the humans. But now he's got the power. Ah. And so he's trying to kill the main bad guy, the main mimic.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way.
Okay.
This movie is Tom Cruise's best work in a decade.
Wow.
That's what I heard about that.
Go see this movie.
Now, I will tell you, here's the reason I was hesitant about this movie. I don't really like movies that are just special effects battles against aliens. That's why I wouldn't go see that Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
You know, with the monsters fighting in the ocean and the humans become the monsters and that sort of stuff. Or any of those kind of things because it's all about the CGI.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like the little clip you just played there. It tells me that the writer has a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
But is it 99% that kind of... You know, we're fighting against the aliens and getting knocked around, and then boom, we're starting the day again in the Groundhog Way? Is that the movie?
No. Yes and no. So, no in that, this is the director of The Bourne Identity did this. So, think that sort of same fast, frenetic action,
wow.
But stable camera, so okay. You can see what's happening.
I'll tell you something about him. His name is Doug Liman.
Mm-hmm.
Also directed one of my favorite movies, Swingers.
There you go.
Talk about non-action movies. but yeah. This guy's got some versatility.
So the fighting is great. There's lots of that, but it's just very well written. You come to understand why this is happening, how it's happening. There's time travel in it. And with X-Men Days of Future Past just a couple weeks ago, you could get kind of lost in how the time travel worked. This is explicit. This is, he lives this day until he dies, and then it starts over.
Mm-hmm.
From the same point, he retains all his knowledge. He's trying to take Emily Blunt with him to kill this bad guy.
Mm-hmm. If you had to recommend a movie for people who want to go see the big one, you know, should they go see the X-Men movie or should they go see Edge of Tomorrow?
This is the movie to see this summer so far.
Really?
This is better than anything that's been released, in my opinion, this summer. I mean, this is far and away. But more importantly, it shows that like a main movie star can carry a role. It used to be Tom Cruise, Will Smith, all these guys carried the summer blockbusters.
Yeah.
And now they're sort of interchangeable parts. It's, oh, we'll get Henry Cavill or Chris Hemsworth or whoever to play these different superheroes.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is an old movie star, an old-fashioned movie star, and he is really, really good in this. Sort of smirky. The other thing I like about it, an aside, they don't put him on a box to make him as tall as everyone in this. He's shorter than just about everyone on screen and the same height as Emily Blunt. It's refreshing to see that, believe it or not.
Yeah, you know that old joke about what note did directors always give to the actresses who starred opposite Tom Cruise?
What's that?
Two words, wear flats.
But this is just, here's the other thing, too. If you aren't certain if you're going to like this, it's based off a Japanese novella, let's call it, called All You Need Is Kill. I've read this. 3-hour read. The movie's 2 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a faithful adaptation because it's a 3-hour read and a 2-hour movie.
What are you giving it out of 10?
Oh, this is a 9. This is a really good movie. It's easily Tom Cruise's best action work since, I mean, Mission Impossible 3 maybe, and that was in, what, 05? So you're talking 9 years.
Yeah. While you were talking, I was looking up another movie about a soldier who is put into situations and dies and then has to restart it. Do you remember a movie, I guess it was about 3 years ago, called Source Code?
Yes.
With Jake Gyllenhaal and Michelle Monaghan?
Yes.
That was terrible and didn't do the sci-fi part right. Sounds like Edge of Tomorrow does.
This does. And the reason I give it a 9 out of 10, the ending's just a little too tidy.
Okay.
That's it. But I cannot recommend this movie highly enough. You should see this in theaters. And what's going to happen here? This is really interesting. Both of these movies, they've sort of projected already. The Fault in Our Stars is going to crush everything this weekend. It's going to be the number one movie at the box office.
Really?
It's
going to do more than the Tom Cruise movie?
It's going to do 50 or 60 million. Tom Cruise movie costs $178 million to make.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to break 30 million this. You need, this is
what?
A movie. Yeah. This
That's
is
crazy
a movie.
Talk.
Word of mouth should carry this movie to success. It's going to start out more than likely as a big stinker, which is a shame. Just a big box office bust. This is a really good. And you know what it is that did this to him? It's Oblivion. Last year's Oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I saw Tom Cruise in a, you know, sci-fi space, and it was awful.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, killed the momentum for this. This is really good. It's a lot of fun. 13-year-olds. Probably all right.
Okay.
Probably all right with it.
All right.
Yeah.
Any other movie-related stuff we have to get to? Because I want to get to this Gwyneth Paltrow water story. Have you heard about this?
Well, that's better than anything I've got.
Gwyneth Paltrow, who continues to just make asinine comments, apparently took to her website, Goop, this week, and wrote, and I'm quoting her, "I am fascinated by the growing science behind the energy of consciousness and its effects on matter," unquote. The energy of consciousness and its effects on matter. She read a book by a Japanese scientist, a book called The Hidden Messages in Water. I'm quoting again from, from Gwyneth Paltrow. Quote, "I've long had Dr. Emoto's coffee table book on how negativity changes the structure of water, how the molecules behave differently depending on the words or music expressed around it. For instance, tests show that water creates more beautiful ice if nice words are used on it."
What?
Mm. Oh, my gosh.
Nice words. "You look so good, water. Oh, my God. Who needs a Zamboni?"
Oh.
Oh, brother.
I think she just saw a movie. I think she just saw Star Wars. She believes in the Force. That's what she just told us right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we haven't discussed in the show, I don't think, in the last couple of weeks. She also said that negative comments on Twitter and Instagram are equivalent to the Battle of War.
Yeah.
The what?
The Battle of War?
War. Yes.
Like being in war.
Being in war is the same as having negative comments.
I'm sure any veteran would tell you that if there is one thing he hates, It's not bullets, it's not bombs, it's not IEDs, it's internet commenters.
Yes,
the troll.
Do you think she's doing this on purpose?
No! I don't think so. No, she
the
is.
The woman
just,
named her daughter Apple.
She is just somebody that thinks she is so much more enlightened than anybody else.
Yeah.
And
she buys into New Age BS.
Yes, and she feels the need to share.
I'll tell you one thing. I give a lot of credit to Chris Martin for saying, "That's the last one. I'm out of here. I put up with this for 10 years. I'm gone."
Yeah.
Water. Talk nice to the water.
Conscious
so it makes
a couple
more
and call it whatever you want. I'm out of here.
One other showbiz thing I have to get to. Did you have any other showbiz stories?
I've got nothing. I was too worn out by these movies.
All right. I have you ever watched the Pete Holmes show on TBS?
Yes.
I'm not a big fan of this guy because, well, not just because of this, but he's Conan's boy. And I'm not a Conan O'Brien fan. I know you are.
Yes.
And I don't watch the Pete Holmes show. But every once in a while, somebody tweets about something that Pete Holmes did the night before, and then I'll go watch the clip of that. So this is a clip from last night's show.
Okay.
Apparently, he's got a running bit with a puppet called New Material Seinfeld. It's a the puppet does observational humor a la Jerry Seinfeld at the same time that he's making fun of people who do all observational humor a la Jerry Seinfeld. So let me just play you a little bit of this last night, and Pete Holmes is standing there with him as New Material Seinfeld does this.
Have you ever noticed that apples are the only fruit that comes in multiple colors? Green, yellow, red?
Yeah, okay.
Am I in the produce section or at a stoplight? I mean, woo! I feel sorry for the orange. That's the only color it's allowed to be. Orange. Ever seen a green orange? You think it's an apple. This green apple tastes like an orange. Somebody put a stop to this red apple stoplight.
Somebody.
Is that funny? Is that anything?
That's my favorite part of the whole thing. Is that funny? Is that anything? It's like Seinfeld is trying out material for his friends.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And the puppet has the rhythm down right. Here's another bit.
Why is a pancake called a pancake, but a cake is just called a cake? You make a cake in a pan, too. That's why you got a cake pan. Then you make a grilled cheese in a pan. You're not grilling it. Should be called a pan cheese. But the pan doesn't even touch the cheese. It just touches the bread. Should be called a pan bread. Pan is the French word for bread. Pan cheese is really a pan pan.
Oh, it's just stupid enough to be hysterically funny. Very, very clever. It's from the Pete Holmes show last night. I put the whole bit up. If you go to the Paul Harris page of KTRS.com or my website, HarrisOnline.com, you can check it out there. All right, Colin, thank you very much.
There you go.
Back to the newsroom. Colin Jeffries, movie reviews brought to you by Auric. They are all over the St. Louis area, all locally owned and operated. And when you step into one, you can say, hey, you know what? Show me that new magnesium RS vacuum cleaner. And one of the Auric employees will be happy to show you the newest and best in the Auric line. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
Monday morning, we're back at it with McGraw Live, talking television with Gail Pennington, politics with the Show Me Institute's David Stokes, and we'll go inside Hollywood and find out what it's like to be the parent of a teenage actor from St. Louis. Noted psychologist Dr. Carl Hart Skypes in, good friend Dakota Mackey McGee stops by, and Congressman John Shimkus joins us in studio as well. It's McGraw Live, 6 a.m. Monday morning on the Big 550 KTRS.
Have you been thinking about creating your dream kitchen, bath, or addition? Call Home Solutions today and have their design team guide you towards an affordable solution to give you what you have been dreaming about for years. Take advantage of free granite or onyx while supplies last with new cabinetry for your kitchen or bath remodel. They feature a large selection of the most popular colors and styles of granite countertops while supplies last. Your new kitchen or bath will be designed to the last detail using their state-of-the-art 3D imagery so you can see everything before you order anything. Home Solutions design team is very professional, and they offer free designs and free estimates. Being fully accredited with the Better Business Bureau means you can trust your project with Home Solutions. Call Home Solutions today for your free design and estimate at 314-821-4949 or click homesolutionsstl.com or visit their design center on Manchester Road in De Pere, just 1/2 mile east of 270. Call today and ask how you can get free countertops for your kitchen or bath. 314-821-4949.
Think you can't afford life insurance? Well, how about less than 50 cents a day? That's how little it could cost Alan for a 10-year, $400,000 policy through SelectQuote. Alan is a 29-year-old father in excellent health, and he's just one of hundreds of people we find affordable life insurance for every week. I'm Harold Harse, a SelectQuote agent. Like you, if something happened to me, my family would be in big trouble. That's why I have life insurance. And that's why everyone at SelectQuote will go to bat for you to get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Make that call. Sleep well tonight.
For your free quote, call 1-800-900-5737. That's 1-800-900-5737. 1-800-900-5737. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Meet me.
All right, we're going to check traffic and see how things are moving along. We're going to go airborne. Here's Frank Ladd.
Thanks, Dan. Working your way westbound out of the city. You're slow. Westbound 64. Looks like Kings Highway now out to about McCausland. West of there, it's a pretty decent run between Spady and Mason. No major delays there. Seeing a little bit of volume headed southbound on 141 through the Highway 64 interchange. Seeing a little more volume as well westbound in the valley headed towards the Boone Bridge. Eastbound on 64, we do have an accident. It's just before 141. It's blocking the left lane. I'm seeing a backup to at least Clarkson now. That's eastbound on Highway 64 as my pilot flies me over the accident here and gets out of my way so I can see it a little better. Yeah, it's definitely blocking the left lane and left shoulder, so you do have a backup eastbound 64 at Olive up to the incident near 141. Eastbound on 64 headed towards downtown St. Louis. You're on the brakes now. It looks like Tucker towards the Poplar, as well as a stretch eastbound on Highway 5564, making your way towards the 7064 split. And a little more volume now southbound on 270 from Clayton Road south through about Doherty Ferry. This update is brought to you by the Missouri Lottery. Enter any Missouri Lottery ticket into the second chance of a lifetime promotion at MLLottery.com for your chance to win a Caribbean private yacht voyage or an incredible adventure in Montana. From the Golden Oak Lending Airborne Traffic Center, I'm Frank Ladd. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
Our phones have been ringing off the hook with people who don't want to pay for an appraisal when their home loan doesn't get approved.
That'll never happen at Golden Oak Lending. This is Bob Ellman. If we can't close your loan, the appraisal is free.
If some lender asks for your credit card, hang up the phone and call Golden Oak Lending at 314-567-GOLD.
We don't need your card because at Golden Oak Lending, you pay nothing out of pocket.
We've been here in St. Louis for 14 years. Why would you go anywhere else?
Are you paying monthly PMI? Our mortgage insurance, we have a program that eliminates it, even if you don't have 20% equity. Find out if we can save you money.
Get a lower rate and a no-risk appraisal at Golden Oak Lending. Call 314-567-GOLD, 567-4653.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
Rates are down to 3.375 fixed, 15-year APR 3.807, NMLS 1149-37, 111 Westport Plaza, St. Louis, Missouri. Call 567-GOLD.
Legendary broadcaster Mike Shannon and Eddie Scholler, owner of the world-famous Fast Eddie's Bon Air.
Mr. Shannon, you got one heck of a life. Man, you're always so upbeat. What's your secret?
Secret? What secret?
Well, I guess it's the secret to life.
There's no secret to me, Eddie. I like to have fun and never take myself too seriously. And it looks like that's exactly what happens at Fast Eddie's Bon Air.
What exactly do you mean?
Well, I don't know of a much livelier and fun place to enjoy with friends than the world-famous Fast Eddie's Bon Air. You've got the coldest beer in town, the tastiest and the cheapest eats. I mean, nothing puts a smile on your face like your peel and eat shrimp or that Fat Eddie burger. You certainly can enjoy life much more than when you're out on that big, huge patio of yours enjoying a nice, cold, frosty one, listening to live music, or watching the ball game on all of those flat screens.
Well, I certainly hope that secret gets out.
Find the secret to life at Fast Eddie's Bon Air. If you're 21 and you're in the mood, come by today and check them out online at FastEddiesBonAir.com.
How many times was Elizabeth Taylor married?
The world is full of questions. Do you have many of those answers? Prove it by attending our annual trivia night benefiting the Kearney's Kids Foundation. Movies, sports, history, pop culture, and more. Friday, June 20th, we'll be at the Maryland Heights Community Center. Beer, soda, and snacks provided. Tickets are just $20 per person or $150 for a table of eight. Prizes awarded, and there'll be select auction items like front row cards, tickets, wine baskets, golf outings, and more. Make reservations today at kearneyskids.org. Friday, June 20th, join us for a night of fun.
Hi, this is Terry Hall. I want to talk to you about real estate. I just helped a lady who had 12 late pays get her home. I just helped a couple relocate with 2 late pays get a home. I just helped a man who had not been able to sell his home for 2 years get it sold for more than he thought. If you're buying or selling and you want to be a success story, you call me. 314-220-0524. That's 314-220-0524. Terry Hall is the best name in real estate.
a medley of the hit by the Vapors.
Yeah.
It's the Friday edition of the Lars Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris, Ian and Dan, later on the challenge. Bill Cleveland, Mike Evans, and Knuckleheads in the News, all ahead in the next 75 minutes of radio.
Wow, I played that song when it was brand new. A new Music 89, KCFE, Florissant Valley.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you know what it was about?
No. No. I still don't know.
You don't?
The Vapors?
Yeah.
Turning Japanese?
The phrase turning Japanese?
I think I'm turning Japanese.
I can't explain it on the radio.
You really think so?
Not politically correct?
Well, no. It's sexual.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
That's gotcha. That has to do with the way your eyes...
Yes.
At a certain moment?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, you explained that. Pretty much explained it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that did it.
I was just trying to figure out a way to explain it on the radio without the radio station having a call from somebody who would...
And you did.
All right. Now let's talk about skin. There is a book in a library at Harvard University made of skin. Human skin. I'm not talking about lamb skin or goat skin or
the cover
or cowhide. Yes, the cover.
Not the pages.
No. You're correct. Apparently, the book's been there for a long time. It's by a French novelist and poet whose name I'm not going to try to pronounce because I would completely butcher it. But this French writer said that the book's binding is the human skin taken from the back of a woman. Specifically, an unclaimed body of a female mental patient who died of a stroke. The writer says, by looking carefully, you can easily distinguish the pores of the skin. This is a book about the human soul, and it deserves to have a human covering.
So if you take this book with you on vacation, like you're on a cruise or on the beach or something, will it get tan and burnt?
That's a very good question. I don't think so, because I'm fairly sure that still has to be connected to the blood flow of the living organism. But, ew is the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
You know, it just...
Yeah.
What do you say the author said, they said something about it kind of went with the material of the book?
Yeah, but a book about the human soul deserves to have a human covering. By the way, it's referred to by the librarian at Harvard as a light volume. Now, I don't know whether that means in weight or in content, but once you put skin on the outside, the lightness and content thing goes away, doesn't it?
I think so.
Speaking of skin, there's a museum in Germany that is displaying what it says is a copy of Vincent van Gogh's ear.
Oh.
The one he cut off.
Yeah.
But it's not his actual ear. This is an ear that was created using genetic material from a family member of Vincent van Gogh, the 19th century artist. This is in a town called Karlsruhe, Germany. The Center for Art and Media is displaying the object as part of an exhibition of work by an artist named Demut Strebe. You know, I didn't go for the French name. Why do I go for the German name? I guarantee you that's not how it's pronounced. This artist created the ear with the aid of a 3D printer and DNA from Van Gogh's Vincent Van Gogh's great-great-grandson, Vincent Van Gogh's brother's great-great-grandson. He got some DNA from him and then grew it in a Petri dish in a hospital in Boston and then somehow used a 3D printer to shape the cells into the form of an ear, and that now is on display.
With a pencil behind it.
There is the comedic genius of Dan Strauss.
There you go.
That's the extra million-dollar idea right
That's
there.
It.
Beautiful. Oh. What else do I have on my desktop here? A guy by the name of Jim Romanesco runs a website where he blogs about various things in the media. And he recently went to do some research at Marquette University in Milwaukee and was looking through some old magazines there. And he found a magazine, a Look magazine from 1968, in which some top scientists predicted life in 2018. Now, we're not there yet, so some of this could still come true. But, of course, it has all the predictions about how we're going to be living in space and all that sort of stuff. But it also says the sea will become more and more a recreational center, and for $5,000, anybody will be able to buy his own submarine and tool around several miles below the surface.
Hmm.
Well, I did the math. $5,000 in 1968, what would that be in 2014 dollars? About $35,000. Okay, and then I went and I looked. Can you buy a personal submarine for $35,000? Yes, you can. Not going to be much use for those of us who live in the middle of the country. I don't think you're going to want to spend $35,000 on a submarine to float down the Merrimack.
No.
Can't see anything anyway.
Yeah. See a bunch of tires in the Mississippi.
Exactly. Yeah. Beer cans that have been thrown overboard and all the rest. At the same time, these scientists said that by 2018, more than half of American families will be making $25,000 a year.
Hmm.
Again, if you do the math and you extrapolate out, how much is that in 2014 dollars? About $150,000.
Mm.
Yeah, that $25,000 sounded like
they
were
realistic.
Close.
Yeah, that's more realistic.
$150,000.
I thought you already converted it.
No. More than half of their families will be making $150,000. That's not right. It also said one family in 12 would have an income after federal income tax of $50,000 a year, which would be $300,000, which would put you into the 1%, which is a little off. Let me see what else they wrote about here. A quote from this Look article in 1968. In the next 50 years, portable shoebox-sized computers will plug into central banks of information to retrieve whatever data one needs. Now, I will point out to you that in 1968... there was no such thing as the personal computer that you and I could go to a store and buy. Certainly not a computer like a phone that you could put in your pocket or a tablet like we have today or even laptops or anything. Computers in those days were large, room-filling machines that needed their own air conditioning and were prohibitively expensive unless you were an educational institution or a governmental institution or... I guess we've seen on this season of Mad Men where Don Draper's firm gets a computer and it's a big deal, but they have to build this whole glass enclosed room for that giant computer, you know, with the reels of tape and magnetic tape goes spinning through it and all that sort of stuff. So in 1968, to say that you were ever going to have a computer the size of a shoebox, that was really, really futuristic thinking. And of course, we've gone beyond that before we get to 2018. One of the people that they quoted in here was a mathematician from Harvard who said access to masses of information will be like feeding pastry to a fat man. The problem is clearly not the input, but the digestion. Kind of right. We have so much information now.
That's true.
I mean, that's good foresight. He said the computer will be used for worldwide spying and worldwide weather forecasting. A diplomat will no longer rely on his intuition and experience to judge the significance of a change in a foreign cabinet or of a new Kremlin speech. In 5 minutes, a computer will compare the new cabinet to all other possibilities or compare the new speech to dozens of previous statements. Here's the only thing they got wrong. Who wants to wait 5 minutes for your computer to do anything?
Yes.
Let me tell you something. In 2014, if you type in a request on Google and it didn't come back for 5 minutes, you would have already rebooted three times before 5 minutes went by. It goes on to say, in such a world, a passenger will not want to stand in line to have his passport checked at national borders. Instead, you will carry a plastic card like a credit card that will be fed into a central computer bank, regurgitate all the vital information about him, and even dispatch an arrival notice to his home. Of course, if such computerized information banks know a person's entire earthly record, he will have few secrets left. Man's privacy to be invaded by the technology of the world in 2018 is something scientists firmly suspect will happen. And boom, were they right on that one, too. And then the last thing I want to mention while we're talking about computer stuff, you know what Google Street View is?
Yes.
If you've ever looked at Google Maps, you can not only get directions on a regular map, but you can also zoom in.
Drag that little orange stick figure over to whatever street you want.
Exactly. And you can see what it looks like from the street. And then you can pan around 360 because Google has these vehicles that go around the U.S., not just the U.S., but the whole world, and take 360-degree panoramic pictures as they go. All right. So there's a town in Scotland called Leith, like Keith, but with an L. And the cops got a call from somebody saying, I was just looking at our town on Google Street View, and I think I saw evidence of a murder. I think I saw a picture of a guy with an axe standing over another guy in the who was lying in the street. And so the cops go to this location, and they identify who the two people are, and it turns out that there are two guys who work in the local garage, mechanics. One guy is the boss, and one guy works for him. And these guys get a little bit freaked out by the questioning, because one of the guys being questioned looks like the victim of this axe-wielding murderer. So what's the story? The story, according to the Edinburgh News, is that Dan Thompson, who's the boss at the garage, said he and his mechanic, Gary Carr, saw the Google Street View car coming up the street. They could tell it was the Google Street View car because of the camera tower on the top. So they said, we just thought we had to do something. This opportunity wasn't coming around very often. So Gary grabbed a pickaxe handle, and we ran out into the street. We decided really quickly what to do. I lay down while Gary stood over me with the pickaxe handle. I wish we'd had a little bit more time. We would have gone and gotten people around there and had them screaming and holding their heads and making it really graphic. But we didn't have time to do that. So that picture was taken last summer. And they laughed about it, and they didn't think anything about it, because they knew it would take a few months before that got online. And then just a couple of weeks ago, they get a call from one of their local parts supply companies saying, hey, I was on Street View, and I think I saw you guys with Gary holding an axe over you or something. What's the story? And that's when the cops showed up, because somebody else had seen it on Street View and called them, and they came and interviewed the guys, and then they had a good laugh about it. And now, what do these two guys say about it in retrospect? Everybody thinks it's a great joke, and everybody has an idea for the next time the Google car comes through, which they think is about every 4 years or so. I love that. It's the Big 550 KTRS.
All right, let's see how the traffic's moving. Here's Frank Ladd, Airborne.
I love the time delay aspect of that joke. It's, you know, a few months later, oh, yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
There's the punchline.
And, of course, before that, I was talking about how you wouldn't wait 5 minutes for something on Google. Here, these guys had to wait 9 months.
That's true. Still working with that accident eastbound on Highway 64, just west of 141. At last check, it was blocking the left lane. But you're very heavy headed up from the valley up through 141 eastbound on Highway 64. Southbound on 270, just south of Ladue Road, got a crash reported on the right shoulder. Just flew over St. Charles County, Highway 70 westbound. A pretty good run from the Blanchett Bridge all the way out to Lake St. Louis, westbound 64. The normal delays passing Forest Park from Kings Highway to McCausland. Then again, coming down the hill to Mason, folks could be taking a look at that crash at 141. Also seeing a little bit of volume approaching the Boone Bridge eastbound on 64. Seeing some volume as well headed towards the Poplar from about 14th Street. Northbound 55, that right lane was heavy from Park Avenue up to the Poplar. Eastbound on Highway 270, some volume now between McDonald and 170. This update is brought to you by the Missouri Lottery. Enter any Missouri Lottery ticket into the second chance of a lifetime promotion at mlottery.com for your chance to win a Caribbean private yacht voyage or an incredible adventure in Montana. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, the Airborne Traffic Center, I should say, this is Frank Ladd on the Big 550 KTRS.
From the Sausage Meister's secret recipes comes a great Bavarian sausage that's for me.
You can't beat G&W Meat. That's G&W Bavarian Style Sausage Company, a family-owned St. Louis tradition since 1965. G&W makes over 30 varieties of sausage on-site in South City. Stop by G&W's full-service meat market for old-fashioned service and a free Bavarian beverage while you shop.
G&W gift cards make the perfect gift for anyone. And they have a new selection of German heritage gifts, including I Love Opa t-shirts just in time for Father's Day. If you can't make it to the shop, ask for your favorite G&W sausage in the meat and deli departments of Schnucks, Dierbergs, and Straub's, or your neighborhood meat market. Visit the shop Tuesday through Saturday at 4828 Parker Avenue, just off Kings Highway, one block south of Filer.
You can't beat G&W meat.
Shop online at gwsausage.com.
Live from Asheville, North Carolina, it's the Bill Cleveland segment, starring Bill Cleveland along with Bruce Limpers in the All Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company, 314-652-3456, or download their free app, STL Taxi. And now here's Bill Cleveland.
Hello, Bill.
Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. Checking in from the road, as Dan mentioned, in Asheville, North Carolina. I've never been to Asheville, North Carolina, and I was trying to figure out the best way to describe this place. I've only been here about 3 hours or so. But this lady, I was walking downtown, and I overheard this conversation between a grandma and what I assumed was her granddaughter, and this just sums it up perfectly. The granddaughter seemed to be a little bit concerned about what she looked like. I don't know if maybe she thought her hair was messed up or her shirt she was wearing, whatever. And the grandma, without missing the beat, said, "It doesn't matter. You're in Asheville. Everyone looks stupid."
Wow. It's nice to have some
civic
pride.
Very reminiscent of, like, 1960s San Francisco. There's kids who still think it's cool to skateboard. Apparently, the big thing to do tonight at 7 o'clock in the town square, there's a bunch of random people that show up and just start drumming. So I cannot wait for that. I'll have a full report on Monday, and there you go.
Bill on the road.
Drumming.
Yes, sir. BillOnTheRoad.com, and then this will be the end of a very long road trip, but a lot of fun, and the scenery here is absolutely spectacular if you've ever been. Beautiful, beautiful country.
I've never been there, but thanks for checking in.
You got it. You guys have a good weekend.
Thank you very much. Bill Cleveland, brought to you by Laclede Taxi. All right, when we come up to the top of the hour here, we'll have the news, and then when we come back after all the news stuff, we'll have today's Harris Challenge, including a couple of segments dedicated to D-Day. Today, the 70th anniversary of our men, and men from 12 countries, in fact, landing on those beaches, the greatest generation that saved the world. They'll be included in the Harris Challenge, and Mike Evans will be along, and I'll have knuckleheads of the news as well. All on KTRS St. Louis.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. The latest shooting police are investigating could have been worse, as they say Dennis Marks was prepared for a full frontal assault on Georgia's Forsyth.